This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, we are live from Surprise Stadium. Kevin, the Rangers are at the Giants this afternoon.
So
they will be back all week. It looks like we have the Rockies and then the Cubs on Thursday for sure. So we got a lot of work to do while we're here. Spring training coverage is brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. All right, gentlemen, it's time every day, this time of day, we go around, find the best headlines in the NFL and deliver them straight to you in gridiron gravy. Take it away, Kevin.
I just want to start with something that is not official by any means, but it's a theory thrown out by Pro Football Talk to drive you insane, is the potential way to save the pass interference replay is by bringing back Dean Blandino. So just wanted to throw that out to the world for you.
It's amazing. With all this technology and all the sports, we've made the refereeing of them worse.
Yes, it is really weird.
Hey, we have technology. Let's make everything worse.
What do you think? What do you think is more painful, Game 6 or Dez Cotton?
Why do you do that?
Game 6.
Okay.
100%.
That's it. I'm done. I'm going back to Dallas.
Yeah. Okay. Take me with you. all right. So I want to see what y'all.
How did you work that? I mean, was that? How is that in your head right there?
Because he does it just to infuriate us. It works every time. That's why.
Do you have it on your mind that I have to get in that game every day of our show? That the show isn't complete without a Game 6 reference?
I think it's just, Mike, that it naturally just makes its way into my life.
No,
because
it doesn't.
I live with it, and I carry that burden.
I feel like you don't care about it much because you bring it up all the time.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't really hurt you way it hurts a lot of our Texas Ranger fans.
I believe, and Kevin, I've told you
people
this.
People from the team that listen.
I believe, yeah, that if we own it, and we live the misery, that the success and the World Series will be that much better.
No, I will be thrilled if we win a World Series, and I never think about what you reference all the time again.
You can't have the glory without the agony.
I already went through the agony.
I really feel like if the Rangers ever get back to a World Series and they win Game 6, then Corey's going to be like, that was much better than the last Game 6.
And
then
he's
not even going to concentrate on us winning the World Series. He's going to concentrate on, do you remember what happened last Game 6, though?
And then I'm going to be like, yeah, no S, dude, but I'm not going to censor it. And then I'm going to get in trouble because it's been boiling up for years and years and years. All right. So I want to see if you guys think that the NFL is on the level about this, because a lot of people are bringing this number into question, partially because they haven't really explained where this number came from. They're just saying this is the number. What percentage of the fan base of the NFL is female?
I saw this stat.
48%.
Yeah.
I think he's off by 1%, just guessing.
47%.
Okay.
And, of course, people are like, no. And so they announced this stat at the beginning of National Women's Month, which I think is first reason people are skeptical, because they're like, interesting timing. Secondly, they didn't walk through their methodology. Is that ticket sales? Is that TV viewership? Is that advertising engagement? Like, they declined to express how exactly they came up with this. So they're like, 47%. Used to be 46%. Now it's the highest ever. And people are like, cool. Can you tell us how you came up with that number that you're releasing at the start of National Women's Month? Because people think they're just pandering to women.
And they are.
Okay. So, like, my natural instinct is that number is high.
Yes. I would say if they knew that, then we would see more commercials. Like, when I watch the morning shows, the Good Morning America or whatever, there are more, like,
sure,
women products being done during commercials. When I'm watching a football game, they're like, how's your wiener doing? Is it not working well? We have this. It might cause a lot of issues other in your life, but don't you want that wiener to start working better? And then
should be sent that to G-Bag.
That seems
erectile
like,
dysfunction. There,
that,
I said
that
it.
That seems like those are more of the commercials during a football game.
Hey!
Rather than, like, is it that time of the month?
You probably need this product because this is the best one to make you
but
feel
But I need
right.
it to be as an aggressive campaign that you just threw out for okay. the Wiener one.
Okay.
But I do not want to hear you workshop that on okay. air. That's an Thank off-air you. Conversation. So, and like people are asking, is it jersey sales? I don't know. Like the NFL has declined to elaborate. So, and this is the part that I hate that you can't have conversations with this in the modern world. They're like, there's lots of women that like football.
There are.
I was like, yes, I know. But are there almost exactly the same amount of men and women? Because no. I think the advertising leads me also to believe no.
What if, Kevin, they're just assuming that if every guy that's watching the game has a girlfriend or a wife, then they are fans too?
That is pandering to women, and that is not helpful in this conversation. I think if they just released, we did this based off of X, Y, and Z, I'd be like, okie dokie.
What if by pandering they just invited more women who are like, you know what? I'm going to become a fan of the NFL. And then, bam, they just won.
That's,
they did it right.
But that would be weird to me if women were like, you know what? Women are watching. I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah.
Is that how society works?
I'm a woman. I'll watch, you know?
I mean, obviously, mark that too. But yes, so... That was amazing. I'm still recovering from
Mike's wiener.
Yes, from the 469. That's G-bag of the decade right there. But yes, the NFL says that 47% of their fan base is women. Now let's move on to a couple of other things. I have devastating news for you, Corey. This is going to be really. It's going to ruin your day.
Thanks.
Landry Jones is out another 2 weeks after aggravating his knee injury for the Dallas Renegades.
The quarterback play in the XFL is already atrocious.
What are you going to do with that?
And so here's my
suggestion. Maybe they innovate. No quarterbacks.
I saw this earlier.
That's pretty much what they're doing.
I saw this earlier from somebody on Twitter. Why can't we just send Cooper Rush down?
Yes, that was Bassick's idea.
Yeah,
I think that's
that
a great
make it
idea.
More interesting to me if they could do that, but you'd have to get a relationship with the NFL and the NFL would say, yes, here's our relationship. We control everything.
Yes. Well, and
based
like,
on advertising, we know what their relationship
yes.
is about.
And maybe that should be the XFL's bit, is they heavily market to females.
Our wiener is way bigger than everybody's. Nobody can do what we do.
I told you we should workshop this off air, Bassick. We like just went through this 2 minutes ago. My God. All right. The replacement for the Cowboys.
You're going to have to get a text.
For Byron. Yes. I just want to let you know, Spittle, I tried. The replacement for Byron Jones. What would you think about Chris Harris? Because Chris Harris looks like he's going to hit the open market. Cowboys, Lions, Raiders, Jets, and Texans have immediately moved to the forefront. Would you accept Chris Harris as your replacement, hopefully your cheaper replacement for Byron Jones?
I'm seeing a lot of people sending me information on Twitter about how Chris Harris wasn't better than Byron Jones and why Byron Jones was better.
There was a time where Chris Harris was definitely
better.
I like
Chris Harris a lot. I don't know exactly what their plan is here, man. Would they overpay for Chris Harris?
So
they won't overpay for Byron Jones?
Which I don't like because Chris Harris made like just a tick under $12 million last year. Word is he might be seeking about that same amount of money. Isn't that around the area 12 to 14 that
right.
we've heard for Byron? So if you're not discernibly saving, I don't think that Chris Harris is that much better than Byron if you think he's better at all.
It's really interesting out of all the people that they don't like in their prime. I mean, who was the last guy in their prime that we let go of? This is going to be the first time in a long time that we've done something
out of
like
all
this.
Out of all the players,
all the offensive linemen we've brought back that
Zeke,
are considered like this.
Tank,
right? I mean, yeah, we let go at one point of kind of Tony Romo or
DeMarcus Ware,
but they weren't in
that
their
was at
prime.
The end
yeah.
of their careers where we're like, we don't even know if they have anything left. We signed Dez Bryant to one of the biggest contracts in NFL history at the time to a wide receiver. And then when it looked like he couldn't play anymore, we were just like, hey, we're going to let you go. But this is interesting that Byron Jones is going to be the guy at, is he 27, 28, right around there?
Mm-hmm.
That we're going to decide, hey, you probably have 4 more years of good football in you. And the contract would be approximately a 4-year contract. And we're going to let you go.
As bad as you think that contract, well, like some people think that contract could be wherever he ends up, the worst contract that's going to be signed this offseason, 100%, is going to be Jadeveon Clowney. Jadeveon Clowney, we've talked about it, he's seeking about $20 million per year. And I just wanted to double check this. Like, why in the universe would you give him that amount of money? He's had zero seasons of double-digit sacks. But here's the more shocking thing to me. Jadeveon Clowney has been in the NFL for 6 years. He has two seasons with more than six sacks.
I will say, I remember an article
about his run stop
on analytics. And there are a lot of, I'm not saying that you should, but I'm just giving you the other side of whoever signs him is going to say, if you look at how many times he's kind of pressuring the quarterback or making somebody get a sack because he pushed them away from him because they were worried about Clowney. I'm not saying he's the best in football. I'm just saying there are certain analytic numbers besides the basic numbers that say he's making an impact, a pretty big impact. A
couple other players that are going to be out there on the market. Travis Benjamin, he is split apart from the Chargers. And then word is for the Panthers, they're shopping offensive lineman Trey Turner, who's been to the Pro Bowl five straight years. They are looking to kind of reboot a couple of things, and one of the things they're going to do is from moving on from him.
If you could grade this segment, how would you grade it so far?
At least an A-.
Okay.
So I think we're doing really well. This is a Pro Bowl-worthy segment, I think, thus far.
I'd give it a solid D.
Okay. And yeah, because you're a man, and I understand. You know what? Why I didn't see that's what you were about to do, I'm ashamed of myself for that. Remember when I told you that Tony Romo was making $17 million a year? That was not true. He's actually going to make $18 million.
Yes, good for Tony.
It's a $180 million contract that he's working on.
And this is the most astonishing thing to me. Remember this in case you missed it yesterday. That contract triggers for 10 years, $180 million, even if CBS doesn't have the NFL for 10 years, if they extend their deal with the NFL. So if they have like a 4 to 5 year extension and they go 7 years, he still gets paid for 10 years. That is in the contract. You could just hang out those last 3 years for $54 million.
Good for Tony.
Good for him.
He'll get to be in more Super Bowls.
That's true. And then finally, they're going to redo how they figure out the compensatory draft picks. They're no longer, if you sign a contract for $1.75 million or less, they're no longer going to count that for or against the compensatory draft pick formula going forward.